is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Bahamas. Welcome to On the Clock with Aaron Green. Today is Thursday, the 18th of February, 2021, and we are still in the seventh year of the International Decade for People of African Descent. Also, we're still in what I am calling Africans in the Americas Month, because sometimes the mighty United States of America forgets that some of us exist along with them in the Americas. Don't watch nothing. We're here to remind them. You're listening to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We're streaming live audio and video on guardiantalkradio.com. You can listen on TV on Cable Bahamas, channel 969, or download the Guardian Radio app for your Apple or Android smart devices. And you can listen to our audio feed or watch us on our video feed right there on the Guardian Radio app. You can text us on the Guardian Radio text line, 422-GR96, that's 422-4796, and that's powered by BTC. If you want to call in today or on any day, you can call us at 323-6232, that's 323-6232, 325-4316, or 326-4259. Well, you're on the clock with Aaron Green, and I'm looking at today's newspapers. In fact, I'm looking at the Tribune. And I see these three smiling faces. I mean, I have never seen the Prime Minister so happy ever. Ever. Even when he was eating stew fish on the moon. Because NASA sent a picture. He wasn't this happy. But then I look at the headline above that picture, right? And it says, you'll pay for what you use. Right? And it's so unfortunate that this picture is placed under that headline because it did not... I'm almost certain that they have nothing to do with each other, right? But when I read that headline, you'll pay for what you use. And then the subsequent headline, Bannister warns families, water bills will increase as subsidies too costly. And I think, hold on, we already paying for what we use and for what we don't use, right? And for what we don't use. And I can understand that the Water and Sewerage Corporation may be losing a lot of money, right? Because in the country, in this particular country I'm proud to be a part of, we have what is called universal access to water, right? And when I was growing up, and people say, oh, are you proud to be a Bahamian? Why are you proud to be a Bahamian? One of the things that always resonated for me was that I live in a country that understood the importance of providing universal access to water to anybody in the country, regardless of status, right? Regardless of immigration or migration status. Because everybody needs access to water. Everybody. But more importantly, providing access to water minimizes the risk of public health outbreaks, right? If you give people access to the water, they will use it to keep themselves and their environments clean. So I always, when I think about why I'm proud to be a Bahamian, right, I think about these two things. Universal access to education. That's right. If you're a children and you in my country, you will get an education, right? I said, proud to be a Bahamian. And universal access to water. And see, I understand that the corporation is losing money, but the question is why? Is it my fault? Is it my fault y'all losing money? I don't think so. I think that you guys are losing money because you're losing water. And you're losing water because you have shoddy infrastructure. you have infrastructure that is consistently leaking water or is not being managed and maintained. So you have public pumps that are being broken or not being repaired properly or efficiently and effectively. And so there's continuous wastage of water. Also, where you have some public pumps, you can still have meters to register how much water is moving through the pump, even if people don't have to pay for it. And so when I see that big headline, you'll pay for what you use, we pay for what we use. The question is, why are you going to make us pay for what we don't use? And also, another note, I would just like to ask the technocrats at the Water and Sewage Corporation to investigate whether an increase in seismic, like volcanic activity in the region, and earthquake-like activity in the region may be causing damage to your infrastructure on the northern foreshore or the eastern foreshore. And that's why there's such consistent leakages. Or maybe the cold patch system that you're using to repair the road above and around the infrastructure is not sufficient, right, to protect the infrastructure, and it continues to get damaged. But I would suggest y'all begin investigating what is the cause of these frequent breaks and leaks, because we already paying for what we use. The question is, why should we have to pay for what we're not using? And then back to that picture. Dear PM and all of your handlers, this is not a good look. You do not get paid. You do not get paid to have this much fun in the House of Assembly. Especially when you know the speaker don't have a bathroom. Right? It's almost as if y'all don't take this job seriously. And so, after seeing this picture, today is day one of my petition that all MPs and cabinet ministers take a salary cut. There should be a different scale for MPs and cabinet ministers, right? But maybe y'all don't understand the nature of your job, the urgency of the tasks in front of you, right? How could you be laughing in Parliament like this and you're getting ready to tell people that they got to pay for water that they can't afford? Water. Water. In the Bahamas. Water. It don't make any sense. It's time for y'all to take a pay cut. Somebody sent me an article from New Zealand. New Zealand is now legislating that girls and young women, people with wombs and who menstruate, shall now have access, free access, to feminine hygiene protection products like pads and tampons through their school system. You hear that? That's leadership. While y'all sitting here having a ball of a time, I bet y'all thinking about the two meats and the three meats for lunch, right? Women still have to pay VAT, and I think and duty, on feminine hygiene products. Women who menstruate regularly as a matter of nature. So today is day one. Dear sir, dear competent authority, it is time for you to use your virtually unfettered power to demand or to legislate that all of you take a pay cut. And then we could come back in 6 months and think about it. Reconsider whether you deserve your full pay. Thank you, Bahamas, for taking a moment with me to peruse that. In fact, a regular listener has been petitioning me. A listener of Morning Blend in the Guardian lineup has been petitioning me to raise that subject. And I have been focused on it for a minute, you know, but today it prompted me to start the campaign. MPs and cabinet ministers need to take a pay cut. And many reasons why, and we're going to delve through them throughout the next few weeks of shows, without a doubt. So like I said, we are still in Black History Month, or what I am calling Africans in the Americas Month. And I wanted to say something yesterday in response to something a caller had said. I am not a political historian, and for many generations of Bahamians, The PLP will always be the party that realized political self-determination and ended apartheid in the Bahamas. They'll always be known as the UBP Slayers. When the PLP won, my grandmother danced in the street. And if anybody know Corinne Mitchell, what a celebration it must have been. But you see, for some generations of Bahamians, the FNM will always be known as the party that ended a period of tyranny and corruption, liberalized the airwaves, and brought basic amenities to the outer islands. They'll always be known as the PLP Slayers. And let me tell you something, I have a neighbor who busts off 5 shots. She tell me one for every term PLP were in power. And I had some other neighbors, they burned PLP t-shirts in the road. And there are young Bahamians who have no idea what I'm talking about. They don't know anything about UBP or the women's suffrage movement. They don't know anything about outside toilets or that people still use them. Or they don't even know when they didn't play reggae on the radio. You see, these political identities and histories mean nothing to them. But what I wanted to say to the caller is that when you talk in politics, it's important to understand why a person aligns with the political party that they do before you make assumptions about their character. For some generations of Bahamians, it does not matter what you say. They will always be a PLP because the political movement that the PLP led was intrinsically linked to their personal or cultural identities. And the same could be said for many generations of Bahamians and the FNM and the DNA and the BCP and the BNCCP, Wesley Campbell's party. And then I was going to say the Coalition of Independence, but I'm not sure they are party even yet. I mean, I know they are party, but I'm not sure that they know that they are party. Anyway, it is important to know how political identity and personal or cultural identity intersect and why. We cannot continue to be enemies with one another. We cannot continue to let politics and political agendas drive us apart when politics has done so much to bring us together, and not just in this country, but across the globe. Because I'm going to tell you, I believe there is a direct link between the civil rights movement in the U.S., the movement to end apartheid in the Bahamas, and the movement to end apartheid in South Africa. And I'll call it from majority rule to CHOGM 85, Commonwealth Heads of Agreement of Government meeting, where Pindling and his government and Bahamians lobbied and petitioned Britain and other members present to substantively engage the ending of apartheid in South Africa. So if politics could bring us together in that way, there's no way that we should continue to let us drive us apart. My guests today are both calling in. They are well-known and well-respected members of Bahamian society. And they are of an older generation that is far more intimate with the majority rule movement than I could ever be. I've asked Mr. Fernley Palmer and Mr. Philip Smith to join us today to share about majority rule. Kermit, are they online? Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Palmer. How are you?
I am great. And yourself?
I am good, thank you, sir.
Good. Good morning to the Bahamas and wherever this program is being heard. Pleasant good morning and all the best.
Thank you, thank you. So, Mr. Palmer, I guess, give us a brief introduction of yourself for those of us younger Bahamians who may not know who you are.
My name is Fernley Palmer. I like to boast that I was born on the corner of Mason Addition, a new road. East Street was formerly New Road. I think in 1940 it changed to East Street. The late Sir Lyndon, he and I born from the same corner. He was born the 22nd of March, 1930. I was born the 26th of September, 1930. Both of my parents and Sir Lyndon's father, my mother and father and Sir Lyndon's father, came to the Bahamas in April, 1922. I was 99 years just about to go to be police officers, and that's what put Sir Lyndon and I so close. Saying that I might be known better of Captain Palmer from the Boys Brigade. My parents put me in the Boys Brigade in 1943, and I remained in the Boys Brigade from 43 until now. So, the brilliant ones can do the math.
Yes.
But I operate a business on the corner of East and Flint Street. I don't know if I could say the business might be at Woodsman, but I operate a business on the corner of East and Flint Street, and I was there for the past 34 years. But my involvement with the PLP when the late Sir Lyndon decided to run in 56, I then lived through Baron Grand Corner, and he lived down via Chinese stores now in front of Taylor Street, and he came to me and asked me if I can go with him to ask two senior people through Baron Grand Corner, who knew me well, if they would support him.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
I walked with him, and I was walking with the organization from then to now.
Okay. So let me ask you a question.
Yes, ma'am.
How did the movement that we call the Majority Rule Movement, how did that start?
That started with the unjust of white against black. Sometimes we get Emancipation Day mixed up from discrimination. I think emancipation was 1843-45.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the slaves were free to get married and buy property. The discrimination bill, it's going from memories now, I think was in April of 1956.
Yes.
That's when blacks could have been over Shirley Street after 6 o'clock in the evening. So Lyndon, myself, Sir Orwell, who became Governor General, Sir Orwell Tunkers, Governor General, Sir Lyndon, Prime Minister, Cecil Whitfield, the founder of the FNM. All of us, when we see at 6:15, we have to leave Bay Street, in regardless to your occupation. Mm-hmm. The law was all blacks over Shirley Street at 6 o'clock.
Wow.
That was discrimination. I think Mr. Depute, the late Seattian, played a great part in that, because I think he said that the House would not end until this was passed, and Sir Milo Butler and other blacks who saw it at that time that it was just bad.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, in the United States, the young, brilliant Martin Luther King Jr., they came up on. And if you go to Jamaica, Manly, and those, they came up on. So it looked like the whole Caribbean and the Southern America all start just fighting for the black, the rights of black, almost the same time.
Yes, yes.
So it just overflow.
It's almost as if it was like the time was right.
Right.
Right. Like I'm an advocate, and I tell people, I don't feel like I did anything monumental. The same thing was happening around the world at the same time.
Right, yeah. Okay. There was a store on Bay Street. We had to serve the black on the west and the white on the east.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents would send me to the store with a list, as much as we could afford. And there's no white person to be served.
Mm-hmm.
And the blacks, so the all was white tellers.
Okay.
So they just stand up and conversate. So I, as a black boy, who was sent up by my parents, couldn't go back. So I have to stand up and wait until they feel like coming over to serve me. I lived through that. I'm heading for 91 now. I finished with 90. And born and grew in East Street. I lived through that. Standing up and waiting
mm-hmm.
for the whites to come and serve me whenever they want to, and it was, you know, it was we had it hard.
Okay,
hard.
Mr. Palmer, our second guest is joining us as well.
Yes,
and so I want to bring him into the conversation.
Okay.
Good morning, Mr. Philip Smith. How are you?
Good morning, ma'am, and thank you very much for having me with you and. Since I am the youngster between Fernley and myself,
Phil, how are you doing?
I'm happy to be with my brother, Captain Palmer, a a wonderful man who has given his entire adult life to the service of young people, who is personally responsible for the involvement of literally now thousands of very positive human beings in our society through his efforts with the Boys Brigade. We very quickly forget these kinds of contributions because we like to focus on the major political or wealthy personalities in our society.
Mm-hmm.
But it is men and women like Fernley Palmer who gave their all, which caused what is now good in the Bahamas to be here. And I thank you, Brother Fernley.
Thank you very much, Brother Phil.
Absolutely. So here is a question, Mr. Smith, particularly. What was the goal of majority rule, and have we achieved it? Now, I want to preface it with this statement.
I lost you there for just a moment.
Okay. So what was the...
What is the goal?
What was the goal of majority rule, and do you think we achieved it?
If I may take just a few minutes of your time,
yes.
I'd like to put things in historical perspective.
Please.
I believe that the late 60s, achievement of started many, many years ago, and it started with Maafa, with the introduction into these islands of a captured and an enslaved people, who each of them continued for the rest of their lives to long for freedom. The British government declared in the 1830s that they were providing freedom.
Mm-hmm.
But immediately, these formerly enslaved, legally enslaved people started to live in a society where they were treated as less than anyone who was white. Less than human.
Mm-hmm.
That continued throughout the 19th century, even though in our region, not too far away, at the beginning of the 19th century, a formerly enslaved people having won their decade-long revolution declared the creation of the first black republic or independent state in the Americas, the Republic of Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
That began the process of destroying slavery in our region because word got to people in all of our islands and in the large continental countries that there was that hope for freedom. And in our Bahamas, we know of names like Mr. Pompey, like Mr. Alec, like Mr. Dick. We know of the revolutions, the uprisings, the revolts in many of our islands against enslavement.
Mm-hmm.
We need to recall that these were our ancestors who helped destroy that evil institution. But that institution was replaced by something, I think, even more insidious, colonialism, where the white colonial government of Britain empowered their friends, a ruling white oligarchy, to make all the decisions in this then colony of the Bahamas. And when you look at the history of those decisions, you see that every law that was passed to do two things. One, to enhance the wealth and power of the ruling white oligarchy and their white friends, and to encumber, to put up barriers to success for Black people. That continued unabated into the 1940s, when Europe was at war and we were sending citizens from the Bahamas, white and black, to aid the empire in defense of the...
I think we... Just a moment to see if Mr. Smith comes back in. I think he may still be there. And so we're going to let Mr. Smith sort of reconnect. Mr. Palmer.
Yes, ma'am.
How you do? So
I am great.
After listening to Mr. Smith, just I want to ask you a question.
Yes.
What do you think was more important to Bahamians, like culturally, to our soul? Was it the majority rule success, or was it achieving independence? What do you think made us feel more free?
I think majority rule. Rule yourself. Independent is great. You are an independent nation, so we say you are an independent person. But that goal, you see, you have to live for it. That's how I lived for it, to know you are free. Lord, help me. Get me motor sometime.
Oh, I understand.
When I want to buy a pair of shoes, I have to take the paper and put my foot down and cut and carry that. So I like that one, so. And he put that paper in the shoes, black, and couldn't put my foot to try on a pair of shoes. I lived through that.
Yes. And if I could just pause. Let me pause for a second. I want to remind Bahamians, particularly those of us that go in the retail space, it's so important to understand why we need to treat each other wholly as whole human beings.
Yeah. You're a human being. All was made by God. You're a human being. And when I have to put my foot on a piece of paper, mark it with a pencil and cut it out and say, I like that brown in there, sir. He put that in there and put it on the sole on the back. Because I was black and born from Mason edition, I couldn't put my foot in a pair of shoes. I lived through that. All that strengthened me to support Lyndon. Say, Lyndon, this got to stop. Got to stop. I was offered to run for the Grove. I told him I don't want that. I won't be a Boys Brigader. I gave that to Cynthia Oden. Lyndon offered me to make me a senator twice. I said, no, Lyndon. Thanks, I appreciate it. Let me stick with the Boys Brigade. I'd rather the Billy Boy than the men of mine.
Right. Equally as important. As important in the development of
more
a nation. Yes.
Than being an MP and people saluting you and green. Please, and whatever color plate is, that's more. When I think of Ken Strong, Stephen Dean, Davy Roll, Simeon Hall, I have 23 ministers of the gospel. Crossley Walking, Jimmy Moultrie, Prince Bodie, all them came through my Boys Brigade coming.
So you got a small army, and imagine if we could get that army to line up at attention.
Yeah. And look. I want to talk about lawyers, Dr. Frankie Walking. Mm-hmm. Doctor.
And so one of the questions I wanted
the Deputy Prime Minister of the day.
Yes.
Desmond Bannister still salute me, say, Captain Palmer, thanks.
Yes. Right? So, Mr. Captain Palmer, one of the things I wanted us to do on this show throughout the show is to have conversations between the generations, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Like, I think it's important for the Honorable Desmond Bannister and Reverend Simeon Hall to understand your commitment to growing them as a part of the plan of, and as a part of a majority rule movement, a commitment to freedom, right? So that the young people that look up to them understand that they are reaching out to them, a new generation, as a part of a intergenerational commitment.
Right.
To upholding principles.
Yes, commitment.
So let me ask you a question. Do you think that we have recognized the movement enough and that you think we are honoring the people that made it possible?
No, I don't think we're honoring the people. Forget me. I'm living here, well done. That's it.
Yes,
but,
sir.
But take back to January 10th, the election, that we had two men, and with the greatest respect for Sir Randolph, because he did a lot, and he should be recognized. But we know the story that was tie. Then Sir Lyndon called Mr. Brennan. Mr. Brennan was not available. Mr. Brennan then returned a call to Sir Lyndon. And when he returned the call, he said to Sir Lyndon, he called Sir Lyndon, according to Lyndon, saying Lyndon with the greatest respect, Premier, I'm with you.
Mm-hmm.
It took Mr. Fox 3 to 4 days, after history, you can't change that, to come over. Yet, in my this is my personal opinion, not the show, my personal opinion, nothing tangible was done for Mr. Brennan. He was knighted and sent to UK to be the ambassador. And that's it. My friend Randolph, born on the Fort Hill, right up above Mason Addition. He have a Labor Day named after him, the first Friday in June. I'm not knocking that. But what was done, according to your question, what was done to highlight Mr. Brennan, who came over the same night, the following day?
Yeah.
I don't know Mr. Fox's reason for not coming over. But if you go by history, Mr. Brennan came over, election result the night he came over tomorrow. Mr. Fox, 3-4 days. I'm not knocking Mr. Fox. He did plenty for this country. See, understand me. But what was done for Mr. Brennan, a white Bahamian, comparing to Mr. Fox. That's my thing.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think that we have...
And I'm open on that.
All right. Do you think we have made it too political?
I think so.
Yes.
And I think the same thing might have come in. Well, we inherit that race. He is a white man. He helped us here. But we ain't going to do for him as much as we do for the black man. That may be the thinking, because we born and grow in that kind of society. We had a white fella, including Alvin Brennan and the rest of them, who was UBP. But he broke up with them and came with the black people.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that might be the thinking. I don't know.
Maybe. Mr. Palmer, I want to read this text, right?
Yes, ma'am.
You don't have to respond to it if you don't want to. But I think it's important for the audience to hear the text, right?
Yes, ma'am.
It says, why are all these old racial issues that happened long before most of us were born being constantly rehashed? I thought we were trying to get past these issues. I treat everyone with the same respect. So I want to go on.
No, that's your history.
Right.
And I'm not talking race for race, black or white. I'm talking history. We still talk about Columbus come here, the 12th of October, 1492.
Right.
Now, see, you cannot write the true history of this country unless you say Sir Stamford Sands was the first minister of tourism. That's history. That ain't no race.
Right. It's no.
You cannot write the history of this country correctly unless you say Sir Roland Simonet was the first premier of this country. You cannot write this country correctly unless you say Mr. Knowles, White Behaman, was the first chief justice of an independent country. This ain't race with me, you know. This is history.
Right.
And history, it's, not race.
And it's a history that we need to know.
Yes.
The lives of Bahamians deserve to have their lives documented.
Right. Yes.
Right?
The true history of the country.
All right, Mr. Palmer.
Yes.
We're going to go to a break.
Okay.
We're going to try and reconnect with
Mr. Smith.
The Honorable Mr. Smith.
Okay.
And we will continue this conversation in a moment.
Okay, ma'am.
You're listening to On the Clock with Aaron Green and my guest, Mr. Firmly Palmer and Philip Smith. We'll be right back, Bahamas.
It's happening, and it's all straight talk with no chaser. And Stephen Miller is unleashed on your radio each weekday, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., right here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It's going to be smart talk, ideas, and innovation. Each weekday, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., only on Guardian Radio, your station for fresh news and smart talk. Trust me. You're not going to want to miss this.
When you get your child immunized, you are protecting him or her from diseases and also creating a safer community. It took many years for the Bahamas to get rid of infections such as polio, mumps, and measles. Keeping up with your child's immunization schedule so that they are fully protected can keep these diseases from coming back. The COVID-19 pandemic should not stop your child from getting immunized. Even if your child missed an appointment, they should continue with follow-up visits to catch up with their immunizations. Contact your nearest clinic or healthcare provider for more information or to make an appointment. Remember, immunizations are free at all government healthcare facilities. Prevent disease. Immunize, please.
This message has been brought to you by the Ministry of Health.
For the past 33 years, Great Commission Ministries has been defending the poor and hurting, feeding the hungry, and sheltering the homeless. We invite you to support our Live to Give program and make a difference in these challenging times. Become a donor by giving a one-time annual gift or a monthly donation of $50 or $100. Call Great Commission Ministries at 325-5801 for more details. Or visit our headquarters at 237 Wolf Road. Join Live to Give today. This public service announcement is proudly sponsored by this radio station.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good morning, Bahamas. You're on the clock with Aaron Green, and it's time for you to get active. Get up, get out, and get active. Four platforms to enter, over 40 winners will be announced. Take your photo or video with a copy of the Nassau Guardian. Log on to guardiantalkradio.com, click on the Get Active link, download and invite your friends and family to vote on your entry, and you can win. Promotion ends February 26th, and if you have a copy of today's Guardian, at the top of the main page, you will see tip number 14. Reward, you say? Yes. Top your previous mileage or score. Then treat yourself, but not overdo it. Right? So if you did 15 push-ups today, do anywhere from 16 to 20 push-ups today and have an extra slice of fruit or a handful of, tamarind. Because it's tamarind season, and a lot of y'all didn't tell me you got tamarind on your tree. Anyway, let's get back to the show. I think we've got Mr. Smith back online. Well, we're still trying to get him. Oh, good morning.
No, I'm here.
Oh, great. Awesome. Awesome.
I apologize for my internet service, which broke the link. I trust that I'll be able to maintain it now using the telephone.
All right. No problem. I'm going to do a separate show on that in the near future. But we were sort of responding to a texter who said that they are, you know, a little upset or uncomfortable that we keep rehashing all these old racial issues and shouldn't we just get past it? As a historian, maybe you could share with us why it is so important to document our lives entirely, but this particular movement.
You're very kind to refer to me as a historian. I just read books, not a historian. I think I did hear, you couldn't hear me, but I could hear you. And I heard Captain Palmer's incredibly eloquent description of why it's important. Mm-hmm. The old saying goes, you know, if you don't learn from your mistakes, you'll make them again and again. If you don't know where you come from, you really don't have an idea of where you're going. So many people believe that because someone smiles at them, that means that that person is their friend, and that may very well be so. But what matters is both what people say and what they do. And I'm sorry, but though people like to say, as they said in the United States when President Obama was elected, well, the United States had entered its post-racial history. And so they were no longer a racist society. Now, everyone in the United States is talking about the need to break their inbred racism. So just saying something isn't anymore doesn't mean that. We are still a developing society. We have not achieved nirvana. We are not in any state of perfection. And nobody expects us to achieve perfection, but what people ought to all strive for, as your advertisement said a little bit ago, to each day do better than you did the day before. And if each of us does that in everything that we do, the Bahamas will continue to grow from strength to strength. But we can only do that recognize it that we are by understanding where we come from. And so once again, Fernley, thank you, brother, for your eloquence and your passion.
Thank you.
All right. So, gentlemen, we're sort of at the end of the show. I've heard this story multiple times, that Bahamian women not just supported the movement, but they were a part of the movement, right? And that this is the story that Bahamian women that worked in the homes of European families and white families, like particularly on the Eastern Road, would go to work. They would, you know, they would work their regular hours, work into the night or into the late evening, but they always had their PLP T-shirts on underneath, right? Whether as a form of protest or a stand of solidarity, or strategic, you know, a strategic movement. I always hear that story, and I want to ask you guys, can you share with us a moment or a story that you think is unlikely to be documented in a history book, or it's unlikely that we, the public, have heard about?
You want to go, Brother Smith?
No, you go, Brother Fernley. You know, every time I listen to you, I learn.
The women, no doubt, have played a 1,000,000% role in the breaking down of discrimination and helping January 10th to come to pass. They sacrifice a lot. And as you said, they wear their PLP shirt under their blouse or dress. And it took courage, because you're working in a white environment and you have that kind of courage. And maybe don't you mind if I lose my job, but this is my commitment. This is how I feel that it should be free.
Yes.
And do that. And that's one of the women who will always, in my personal opinion, be recognized is Effie Walk. Effie Walk's mother was my godmother, Rita Walk. Effie Walk's mother, she's my godmother. So Effie and I, my godmother, we grew up tight together. But they had a lot of women, Marge Brown and Ingram and Mabel Walker. A lot. Those women had courage. And we have a lot of women in good position today, but I think the writing is my personal thing. I think the writing on the back of those women who in the 50s or the 60s will say, now I have 3-4 children and I'm going to take a chance to put this PLB shirt and go on this white job, knowing that they might lose the job.
Yes.
And she does not race. Well, send the text. This is living facts, and this is history, not race. And just let me brand it. See, the election, 67, I could find it in the Bible, but I had my Bible with me. 67 election was supposed to be held in November of 66.
Mm-hmm.
But on the 10th of January, 67, there are 3 ships with crews passing is supposed to come in, which would have given 900 900 passengers.
Wow.
You see, we have 1,000 a day, so you don't remember. You can't think of 900 what that was. And the taxi union under the late Sir Clifford Darling, who became Governor General, the powers to be at that time assumed strongly that the taxi union was going after the 900 tourists and don't support the PLP.
Okay.
And it was changed from November to December with God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to, Madam, send you a whole list of scripture.
Yes.
To back that up.
Okay.
So you could do that from any version Bible.
Okay.
I use the King James. I am going to send you that.
Yes, sir.
So when you could see the day and date, the 10th, you can see the 7th of July. You can see the 14th of January from the Bible. That is God.
Yes, sir.
That is God.
Yes, sir. So, gentlemen, we are running out of time. I want to read these texts to you so you can hear what the audience wants to share.
Okay.
And I want to say to the audience that I will be gently coercing these two gentlemen to join me again on the show. But they've also been approached to speak about the same subject on a platform that I'm a part of called Drumbeat 242. And when that conversation takes place, I will also make it available to the public. And so this is what I want to share quickly. Let me tell you how important these stories are. I grew up with a housekeeper, and my housekeeper is from Andres. And we had television. We were watching the first invasion, the first Gulf War. And I asked her, what would you do if Sir Lyndon Pinlan said, it's time to go to war? And my housekeeper looked at me and said, if my prime minister says it's time to go to war and he need me and the people from Andres to help, I'm going to go collect every rock and conch shell and bottle I could find and put my artillery together.
Amen.
Right? And that is... And this is a woman who would also tell me, I never passed second grade, but I know education is important, so get to work. It is that moment that inspired me to understand that I could do anything.
Yeah.
And that I love my country enough to figure out how to get it done. And I feel like my housekeeper was inspired by those women and other women who wore their shirts on the job. And like you say, participated 1,000,000%. And now I teach young people that they could catch Chicanis and do whatever they want to do because the spirit of those women was passed on to me. I think that, you know, it's important for people to understand. That's why we tell the stories, not to race bait.
No.
Right. So let me get to some of these texts. Good morning, Aaron, and to your guests. Awesome show. As a fairly young person, I love to learn about my Bahamian history. We as a generation must learn to reverence, respect, and appreciate the sacrifices made by our forefathers, as it is because of them we enjoy the benefits and freedoms we do today. Aaron, no matter how uncomfortable it makes people, the fact is that race dynamics was a real and true part of our history and cannot be ignored or sugarcoated for easily swallowing by the by those that suffer from cognitive dissonance. But also, we have a duty to honor the lives of these people that built this country, that sacrificed, and not just the high-profile people, the people in the trenches. It is our duty. This is our story. We have a commitment to carry the movement further. You've been listening to On the Clock with Aaron Green. Stay tuned for another lively show with Levi and Miller and Unleashed. Have a great day, Bahamas.